Would you take your Bibles, please, with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 18. John chapter 18 this morning, just two verses today, but much to consider. The last two verses of John chapter 18 are verse 39 and verse 40. This is a scene that's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. You may think that that might not be a big deal, but it's a very big deal. There are so many things that aren't mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Matter of fact, if you put all of that together, only the things that were mentioned in the four Gospels, you wouldn't have a very big list. But this is one of them. And it's sort of an obscure section, just a couple of verses mentioned here. But God wanted to make sure that every gospel writer included this information about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ right before it. Would you look at it with me? John 18, verse 39, the Bible says, "But ye have a custom." Of course, if you know the context, as we've been preaching, Pilate is speaking here to the crowd of the people. And the Bible says in John 18, 39, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Here is a choice between Barabbas and Jesus. If I had to entitle the message, it would be, "Do you really want Barabbas? Are you sure that's your choice? Are you really certain that you picked the right one in this story?" This choice is, I want to say four things about it. The first one I find in the first few words of our verse 39 that we read. He says, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover." Now, this is mentioned in other places in the narrative of the Gospels. It wasn't a requirement, but they had gotten used to this. In other words, when they came to the Passover, the Roman government would give the people what they wanted. They would appease them. And they would say, "I tell you what, we're going to put these people to death, but we'll give you a choice. Which one do you want to go free? And we'll just set one of them free, and you can have which one, every one you want. It doesn't matter what they've done." It was really like a full pardon. A full pardon. But it wasn't a pardon like our pardons. You know, our president has to make that choice. Here it's the choice of the people. It's whoever they want. And it doesn't matter what the person had done. Rome and Pilate had been in this routine of giving them what they wanted. It wasn't a necessity. Although the Bible does say in Luke chapter 23, verse 17, "For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." It became a necessity because, though it wasn't in Roman law that they released one, though it sure wasn't something that was required in society, it's something the people had gotten used to, as the verse says, as the custom was. You know, many times when people get in a mode of tradition, it almost becomes a necessity. You understand what I'm saying? When you get used to doing things over and over again, it's almost like you have to do them. By the way, that's cause for pause in our lives, because sometimes we get in the habit of doing things that aren't good for us. But so this was Pilate didn't have to do this. But he did it for one reason, because the people had gotten so used to it that if he had not done it, it would have upset them. It would have made them mad. And it was the custom to release unto them and give them the choice of whoever they wanted to go free. It was expected. And I call this a choice of appeasement. It was a choice just to please people. You know, our choices in life really define what our lives become. And many times in life, we have way too many choices. And the choices are all about pleasing me. So many choices of humanity are What do I want? What's best for me? What can I get joy and satisfaction unto the, for my own life? The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 15, verse 8, they desire Him to do as He had ever done to them. They want what they want. Give us this choice. We want it. We want this choice. And the choice was not going to be based upon what was the best thing. It was going to be based upon what pleased people. Now, every day in our lives, we're faced with a choice. And this is my question to you. Do we repeat this story over and over again and make choices based upon what appeases me and what pleases me? There would have never been this scenario if it wasn't an attempt just to make everybody happy. What do you want? Choose. You have a free will. Just, I know we're Rome and we're in power, but we want you people to be happy and satisfied. Just choose what you want. If we're not careful, you'll live your life that way. You'll live your life just choosing things that you want. Listen now, in exclusion to choosing what God wants for you. You know, the best thing in the world to do is let God make your choices. But a lot of people don't do that. They want what they want. They want it now. And the people wanted a choice. You know, it's like Americans, we have way too many choices. I mean, we have, when you go to buy a phone, you can't just buy a phone. You know, you've got a million phones to choose from, right? When you go to a fast food restaurant, you got millions of fast food restaurants to choose from. When you get chicken, well, what kind of chicken do you want? Do you want the thigh? Do you want the breast? You want the dark meat? You want the white meat? You want a wing? What kind of chicken do you want? Oh, you want a steak? Well, we're not just going to give you steak. Do you want it rare? Do you want medium rare? Do you want it medium? Do you want it medium well? Or do you want it well done? It's choices. And you know what all those choices are about? And on the surface, they're not wrong and sinful. But we, look, we as human beings, we get into this routine of expecting a choice to make me happy to the nth degree in every little thing I want in life. And let me tell you what, that is not how to live your life. The way to live your life is to choose God and say, God, whatever you want for me, that's what I want. You order for me. You ever done that? Ever let somebody order for you? Well, that's dangerous, isn't it? It's like these people that go through the drive-thru and they come up and they say, whatever the guy in front of me ordered, that's what I want. Y'all know about that fad? That's pretty. How many of you know about that fad? Here go the young people's hands. That's a fad. They go through they get to the drive and they say, we take your order, please. And they say, whatever the guy had before me, that's what. They don't ask what he had. Listen, they don't ask. That's the whole joke or the whole fun part of it. And you don't know what you're going to get, and you drive up there and they give you this thing, and okay. You let somebody else choose for you. You didn't know what it was. Now look, that's ridiculous and all that, and you know, it doesn't matter. But I tell you what, it would be better if you would go to God and say, Lord, I'll let you order for me. And I don't want what appeases me, and I don't want what pleases me. I want to choose God. I want to choose life. I want to choose whatever you think is best. I want what you want, God. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're really saved by the grace of God, our lives are supposed to be manifested in a cross life. We're supposed to, Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. And living for Jesus and following Jesus is a life of self-denial. It's not me having what I want and dressing how I want and experiencing what I want and having the people in my life that I want and living the life that I want. The cross life is I'm going to deny what appeases me. I'm going to deny what pleases my flesh, because my flesh, if given the chance, every time it will choose Barabbas. Every time it'll make the wrong choice. When I'm the one that's pleasing myself. And the admonition of the Scriptures to the saints of God is that we're not to please ourselves, but to please Him. And the whole event, the whole setting of this story, is Pilate wants to please the people and give them their choice. You know, we don't worship God how we choose. We worship God how He chooses us to worship. We don't have a Bible of our own making. We have a Bible that God has chosen to give us. We have His words, not the words that we wish to hear. And in this day of American Christianity, American Christians expect everything to be just like they desire and just like they want. And that is not the right choice. That's Barabbas every time. Not only were the people trying to be pleased, but somebody else was trying to be pleased. Would you look at Matthew chapter 27? There's another appeasement going on, a pleasing going on. Not just Pilate wanting to please the people, but watch this verse. Matthew chapter 27. Do you really want Barabbas? You know how many people chose what they really... Listen now. Chose what they really, 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 really thought they wanted. But after they got it, it was not what they expected. And after they got what they chose that they thought would please them so well, at the end of the day, it just ended in a miserable experience because they didn't have the sense to make the right choice. They were trying to please themselves. I mean, most of us, come on. How many of us, most of us, if we had the choice, every meal of your life, if you could eat steak and lobster and coconut cream pie and banana cream pie and chocolate chip cookies and ice cream every day. What if you went to your house and in your kitchen, and I'm sure nobody has it, in your kitchen you have one of them ice cream machines, you can just pull it down and you can get the cone every... Wouldn't that be a satisfaction? Most people, you get it from the table in your meal and you just go to the ice cream machine. If we would live that way in life, it wouldn't be good for us. I mean, who would go up to the, okay, here's a table spread with broccoli and kale and spinach. And over here's a table spread with, you know, hot dogs and potato chips and sausage. You know, not too many people would walk up to the table and said, you know, I'd like a bowl of kale. That's not the choice you're going to make. You know why? Because you make choices based upon what tastes good. It doesn't matter if it's good for your body. And I can guarantee you for sure, going through the drive-thru at any fast food restaurant is not good for your body. It's just not. But it tastes great. I mean, they figured out how to kill people by taking a potato and slicing it just right and soaking it in oil and dousing it with salt. And we just go, man, this is like drugs. I mean, hot French fries is the greatest invention of mankind. It is unbelievable. It's addicting. You eat French fries every day, you're going to be as big as a house. And you're going to get diabetes and the gout. I mean, that's just true. It's not. We make choices based upon what we like. And what I'm telling you, God knows what's best for you. And Barabbas is not what is best for you. What you want is not best for you. This choice of pleasing and appeasement, Matthew 27, he says in verse 20. Matthew 27, 20, look at it. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. In other words, what they came up with and their choice that they wanted was not just one that they studied on. They were incited to do this. They were persuaded. Oh, come on, you want this. And the people now are really trying to please the chief priests and the elders, their leadership. They're trying, just like Pilate's trying to please the people, they're trying to please the persuasion of their religious leaders, of their church. They're trying, oh, well, yes, sir, if you think that's best, I guess that's what we need to do. You know, when you please others, you're usually not going to please God. And when you please others, usually somewhere down the line, most people don't appreciate that. This choice is the choice of appeasement. But then secondly, would you go back to our text? This also, I call it, is a choice of insanity. What insane person would choose Barabbas over Jesus Christ? Look at the text. It says in verse 40, "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a what? Was a robber. Barabbas never walked on the water. Why would you choose him over Jesus Christ? Barabbas never did a miracle. Why would you choose Barabbas over Jesus Christ? You have to be insane. Listen now. You have to be insane to want Barabbas over Jesus Christ. Who was Barabbas? The Bible says in this text that Barabbas was a robber. He was a thief. You know, I tell you what, the people on the top of my list that I appreciate and like aren't people that steal from me. I mean, those are the people on my bottom list that I despise. I mean, we've had people in the last, I don't know, 6 months come out to the church proper in the middle of the night and they've stole stuff. I mean, stupid stuff. I just despise that. I mean, it just gets all over me. Have you ever, and usually people that aren't bothered by thieves are people that have never been stolen from very much. Like over there in Romania, in the gypsy village, you know, they got so angry at the gypsies because the Hungarians would come home. This is true. They would go out of town, they'd come home, and everything in their house was gone. I'm talking about it was cleaned, amen, like you would clean a car at a chop shop. It was gone. Robber. And they hated those people. Barabbas is a robber. He's a thief. You have got to be insane to choose a thief, a robber, over the lovely, perfect, holy, harmless, perfect Son of God. You got to be crazy to make that choice. You know what? He wasn't just a robber. He was something else. Would you look at Luke, just back a book there again, Luke chapter 23. The Bible tells us something else about Barabbas. In Luke chapter 23, the Bible says in verse 18, Luke 23, 18, will you look at that? Luke 23, 18, the Bible says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who," verse 19, "for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Now we get more information about Barabbas. Barabbas is not only a robber, but Barabbas is a murderer. He's a bloodthirsty murderer. He kills people. And not only that, the Bible says he's guilty of sedition. Another gospel uses the word insurrection. That means he's a lawbreaker. He breaks the law and he's riotous. He tries to get people to rise up and rebel against all forms of authority. He's a man that is against the law. He's out of control. He murders people. He robs people. Let me ask you a question. Who would choose that over Jesus? You got to be insane. You know, it would be like in our day, and we've seen these headlines in the news. It would be like how they arrest somebody. It doesn't matter if they're an illegal or if they're not illegal, but they arrest them, and instead of giving them just punishment, they release them back into society. Y'all seen and read these stories? And they should have kept them, but they release them, and as soon as they get out, what do? They go rape somebody else. They go kill somebody else. And I tell you what, the blood needs to be on some of the hands of these judges and some of these people that just let people go free. And while others have to, and their families have to bear the cost of not holding them and just letting them have their freedom. And that is the choice of Barabbas. Barabbas is a murderer. He's not just a guy that got caught in a bad circumstance. He's a murderer. He's a robber. He's a lawbreaker. And the crowd says, let's see, Jesus, Barabbas. Put Barabbas back in society. See who else you'll kill. See who else you'll rob. Yeah, that's what we want. You've got to be insane.
You say, man, preacher, I wouldn't have made that choice. Listen to me. Every day, people choose Barabbas instead of Jesus Christ. Every day, people choose the murderer. You know who the murderer is? The Bible says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He's the thief. He's the robber. How many people don't choose Jesus Christ? You know, if you're not saved this morning, I tell you, you're insane. You've got to be insane not to choose Jesus Christ. Here is a man that can save your soul and forgive you of your sin and give you a better life, give you heaven. And you say, no, I'd rather just not have him. I'd rather have something else. You've got to have lost your mind to do that. You know what the Bible says about the prodigal son? You remember that? Why would the prodigal son want to live in a hog pen instead of a rich father's house? Is that not a little bit of insanity? Why would a prodigal son want to fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat instead of eating good bread, amen, and the fatted calf? I mean, that's the beef calf, brother, amen. That's the one that's been fat up, ready to kill, and the rejoicing and the fun. Why would he want to stay in it? You've got to be insane to want to stay there. And I tell you what, if you're living a life of sin, you've got to be insane to want the hog pit of sin. You've got to be insane to want the world instead of the Father's house, instead of Jesus, instead of the things of the truth, instead of things of righteousness and the Word of God. You've got to be crazy. The Bible says that prodigal's in that hog pen. And he came to himself. That's a strange phrase. He came to himself. That means, you know why? He was far away from himself. He was out of his mind. We've got a world that's out of their mind. It chooses every day, and Jesus is available. Jesus is here this morning. The life of Jesus is here this morning. The things of Christ are here this morning. Somebody says, I think I'll take Barabbas. I think I'll go with the murderer instead of the giver of life. I mean, Jesus was the one that gave Lazarus back his life, right? Jesus was the one that touched that widow's son's beard that went by, who was dead, and he gave her son back and raised him to life. This is the life giver. And they said, no, we don't want life. We'd rather have death. Barabbas is the robber, stealing from people. You know who Jesus was? Listen, never was anybody like Jesus. He was a giver. This world has never seen the unselfishness of one like Jesus Christ. You know, as a carpenter, he would make things and build things and do things for people. Look here. He never did it for money. You can't work, you know, 30 years, and I'm sure he was the best carpenter the world ever seen, wouldn't you say? Well, why wasn't he a rich man at 30 years of age? Why wasn't he the most prominent figure anywhere? Because he made things nobody else could make, and they were always perfect. He never hit one wrong lick with the blade. You know why? Because everything he did was unselfish. He didn't have a house to live in. He was so unselfish, he gave of himself. You know what he did? He went to people like adulteresses and devil-possessed people. And he went to the common people. He came all the way from heaven and the glories of heaven to give of himself and spend time with lowly fishermen. And he spent long hours. And he lost sleep. Why? Why? Why did he lose sleep? So he could minister to people. So he could teach them the Word of God. He spent long hours teaching and training and preaching the Word of God. He did it out in the open. He did it in the synagogue. He did it everywhere. He constantly was giving of himself. He was giving himself in prayer. He was giving himself to the world. He was totally unselfish. He was feeding the people. He was giving them drink. He was clothing them. He didn't steal from anybody. He only gave. And the crowd looks at the one that's the giver and looks at the one that's the taker and said, we want the taker. It's insane. But it happens every day.
Look at Acts chapter 3, would you? And I'll go to the third thing about this choice. I want you to choose the Lord this morning. I want you to choose what's right. I don't want you to be like this crowd that said, not this man. No, we don't want this man. We want drunkenness. Not this man. We don't want this man. We want greed. Not Jesus. I'd rather have my fake friends. Not Jesus. I'd rather have my bankrupt relatives that don't care about God. Not Jesus. I'll take them instead of Jesus Christ. No, I think I'll find fault in Jesus instead of finding fault in Barabbas. It's insanity. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, but ye, look at verse 13, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. You said, preacher, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't do that. I'm not sure about that. Because this was a unified choice. Would you go back to your text? The Bible said it wasn't just a few people that said this. It wasn't a majority. The Bible says all of them said that. You see that in John chapter 18? It said in verse 40, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. It was a choice of unity, a unified choice. They were all together. They were the crowd, the mob. They were all unified in saying, no, we don't want this man. We want Barabbas. It still is a choice between two. Verse 30 said, only one's going to get released. You say, in the world today, they said, no, release both of them. No, there's only one that gets released. Only one. And it's a choice between two. It's a universal choice. And man has been making the same universal choice for 2,000 years. They've been choosing other things besides Jesus Christ. It's a choice between heaven and hell. And yet the broad road and the universal voice of mankind goes down to the depths and the pit because they don't want to make the choice of Jesus. They make hell their choice. They make sin their choice. They could choose peace. You'd think if you would put before people, here's peace and here's sin. Which one do you want? Because there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Do we believe that? That's in the Bible, say. So here's your choice. You can have peace or you can have sin. Which are you going to choose? You know it's almost universal that humanity chooses the sin instead of the peace. Here God puts out on the table, all right, here's my grace, and right here's my mercy. And then on this other side of this table, you can choose heartbreak and regret, which one you want. And mankind with one voice says, well, I'll grab the heartbreak and the regret side. Because there's something in man that hates the holy. There's something in man that does not want to choose the Holy One. There's a hatred for that one that's better than you. Maybe they thought, Jesus, he always was a goody two-shoes. You know what? He sort of bothered us. He's always preaching about the judgment of God and the fear of God and about us doing right and about how sin was. We're about tired of that. Mankind universally will be against what makes him look bad. And I tell you what, Jesus Christ and witness to the truth shine the light on all of us that we're all depraved and we're all sinners and we all come short. And man looks at that and says, I don't think I'll choose that. I'll choose, listen. I'll choose somebody that's like me. You know what people do? They choose people that are like them. You know who you want to be around? You want to be people that are like you. That like the same things you like. You want to be around people that have the same interests that you have? That's mankind. And they look at Jesus and say, he's not like us. But Barabbas, we can relate to him. You know why? Because they were thieves too. You know what? Everybody in here stole him. You said, preacher, I haven't stolen anything since I was 6 years old. No, you stole him. You know what you may have stolen? You may have stolen your life away from God and not let Him have it.
you may have stolen the glory from God. Let Him have the privilege of having the glory from your life. You may have stole service from God. You may have stole your talents away. Instead of using that for God, you've used it for you. You can steal your treasures from the Lord. Man is a thief. And so many times, universally, the thief of man will choose another thief. We're murderers. You say, preacher, I've not killed anybody. God says, you got hatred in your heart for anybody? The book says this, you know what? That Jesus Christ, our sins. It was because of our sins that He died. Your sin. Look, those nails didn't hold Him there. Your sin held Him there. We were the murderers of Christ. Our sin put Him on the tree. We're all guilty. And the murderer says, well, I think I'll just choose the murderer. It's a universal wrong choice. I think I'll take a drunkard instead of Jesus. I think I'll take Satan instead of the Lord God. I'll take myself. I'll take the world. I don't want Jesus. I want Barabbas. You know, Rome did this. After Jesus ascended up to heaven in the early first century of the church, you know what Rome started doing? Rome started taking Christians because they just couldn't stand taking Christians and putting them on a pole and soaking them with tar and flammable substances, and they'd set them on fire, the king would, to light his gardens. And at the same time, you know what kind of society Rome was? Have you ever read Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1 is a description of that was written to all the saints in Rome. That was things that they were experiencing. It's not just things that we're learning about in our day. No, it was happening back then too. And Rome, listen now, Rome would choose perverts and sodomites and murderers before they would choose a Christian. Put those Christians to death, those Bible-believing people. They're straying. We don't want them. We would rather have the perverts. We would rather have the murderers. We would rather have the centurions. The choice universally of mankind is almost always wrong. They thought Jesus was the troubler of Israel, just like Ahab said to Elijah. But it was Ahab that was the troubler. You know, in our day, people, listen, every day, people have a choice. They could take a wonderful Bible, a book. You know, isn't it amazing that God would make a book that wouldn't have any errors in it? Have any of y'all ever tried to write a book or an article or something? I've done that on several occasions. And it can be a short book. And you know what you'll find out? You make so many mistakes. A little black book we did for Bible discipleship, I bet it was proofread 25 times. And yet, there's a mistake. You can put all the I's you want. I never forget. Brother Knox did a commentary one time. He had proofreaders galore on all of his books, and they misspelled the title of the book of the Bible on the front cover. Because man just can't. I've done that myself, reading articles in the news, and you say, man, this was put out by a multi-million-dollar news organization, and they can't spell? No, the problem is everybody makes mistakes in their books, except God. And let me ask you a question. Why would you choose to read something that's full of errors when you could choose something that has no errors at all? Why would you choose something that had just little bits and pieces of truth intermixed in it, but you can choose something that has all the truth, not just for time, but eternity and all the history of man? Why wouldn't man choose this? Because he likes Barabbas. Why wouldn't people choose a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? Why would they rather go to a place where they feel good? And they get about a 15-minute message that's not preaching. Right? I'm just telling you how it is out there. Some of you know. And there's no God up there. There's no instruction. There's no wisdom given for their life. There's no warning to help their marriage or help their children or warn them from the vices that destroy everybody around. No, let's just feel good for a little while and have some emotionalism and go home. Because man always chooses Barabbas over Jesus. Why do others in their religious ritualism, they'd rather take a formalistic religion. You know,
you know, half the world that calls themselves Christians go in these formalistic places and they sit down quietly and they burn a candle and they have some incense and they sit there for a minute and it's all, the insects don't even go in there to die. I mean, it's so quiet. It's just dead. And men will flock to that instead of getting something real and living for their soul. Why? Barabbas. Why would people this morning, great Labor Day weekend we have, praise the Lord. Why would somebody choose to sleep in another hour or two or three when we sleep half our lives away instead of going to church to finally get my mind on something that is more important than me, and that's called the Lord God? Why would I choose the bed? Why would I choose entertainment? Why would I choose sporting activities and I don't need God? Why? It's Barabbas. It's the universal choice of man. Why would people choose an education and a career to the expense of their own soul? Why would they do that? Why would they choose the God of materialism and the dollar side? Why would that be more important to them than their own soul that's going to live forever? Why would they lose sight of the value that Christ has and the Word of God has? And why is it so easy to make the wrong choice? Because man in his depravity with one voice cries out, Barabbas! Give me Barabbas! Why would you want sin and illicit relationships? You know how many people choose illicit relationships over Jesus Christ? They would rather shack up with somebody than have a life of purity before God and get help from God and get God's favor. Why? Barabbas. The cry. Why would I want what destroys me instead of that which can save me? Why would I admire the ones that are so filled with flaws in the world and the heroes of the world and the celebrities of the world? Why would I admire that with all the flaws? And here's Jesus Christ. Why would I look at the beauty of a sinful man with full of holes and yet not look at the beauty of the Lord? Why would I not choose the best one? Because universally man says, give us Barabbas. They could have chosen the right one. It wasn't a hard choice. And let me say, it's not a hard choice. The Christian life is better than any life. Amen. Amen. Righteousness and holiness is always better than a life filled with lust and sin. It's always better. But why is the universal choice usually the wrong way? It's the same scene. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John played all over again. The last thing I give you, I'm finished. He said in John chapter 18, verse 39, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. The last thing I see about this choice, it was not just a choice of appeasement. It was one of insanity, it was one of unity, but it was also one of substitution. Because you see, Barabbas was scheduled to die. That was his cross. But Jesus took it instead. It was Jesus that was the innocent man and Barabbas was the guilty man, but the innocent man was taken, but the guilty man was set free. You see, dear friend, all of us are Barabbas. We're all guilty before an almighty holy God. And yet in the good grace and wisdom and mercy of God, there came one that stepped out and said this in the Bible. Surely, Isaiah 53, surely He has borne our griefs. Jesus says, Barabbas, you should have the grief of the cross, but I tell you what, son, I'm going to take it for you. Surely He had borne our griefs. Listen, He had carried our sorrows. You know, Barabbas, you're the one that needs to be sorrowful. You ought to be sorry for the rest of your life because of what you've stolen, because of who you've killed, because of the laws you've broken. You're the one that deserves the sorrow, Barabbas. But Jesus says, Barabbas, today you're going to get to go free. And I'm the one that's going to be filled with sorrow. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions.
You see, it was Barabbas that should have had the whip and should have had the scourge and should have had the nails and should have had the mocking and the spitting in his face and the smiting on his head. It was Barabbas that had all that. But Jesus stepped in and said, let this man go free and I'll take his place and I'll be smitten and I'll be afflicted and the chastisement of his peace put on me. And with his stripes, I'll heal him. Because all we like sheep have gone astray, not but just Barabbas. And we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I don't know what that did in Barabbas' heart. But that day that he got the sentence and the Roman governor came to him and said, Barabbas, you're not going to believe this. I don't believe it either, Barabbas. But you're free. There's another man that's going to die in your place today. I don't know how that affected him. But I know how I would hope it would have affected me. The Bible gives us a story, and I'll close with this. Only one gets released, you see. Only one. And God Almighty says, I'll let you go and I'll take my son. And Leviticus chapter 14 gives a story of leprosy. People are all eaten up with it, their body. It's a picture of sin and depravity in all of our lives. And it's just decaying their body. It's going to kill them. And God had an answer for them. He says, all right, what I need is a sacrifice. And it's a beautiful story. I was reading it again this morning. And the Bible said this leper that was to be cleansed and set free of his filth and his disease, God says, bring me two birds. And they brought these two birds. And the priest had to make a determination. One of these birds I'm going to have to kill, and one of these birds I'm going to set free. And he takes this one bird and he kills him. And all the blood is bled out in the basin. Watch it now. And then he takes this other bird. And he dips that bird in that blood. And he takes that bird outside. And he lets it go free. And the greatest day of my life was when I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was my substitute and my sin offering. He took my place on the cross. He took my hell and my judgment and my condemnation, and his blood was shed for me. And then the day that God took his hand and took my life and dipped me in that precious blood that cleanses from sin, and he went out there and he says, you know, just fly. You're free. Fly. And that day Barabbas was free. I wonder this morning, are you free? Have you been dipped in the blood of the Holy One? Have you been saved by the blood of the Crucified One? It's not your goodness. It's not your religion. It's not your works. The only way you can be set free from your sin, the only way you can be saved, is if you receive the work of the substitute of Jesus Christ on the cross for your behalf. He's the one that took the penalty. Are you flying this morning in the blood? Are you flying with the blood stained on the feathers of the wings of your life? If so, you ought to be grateful. Do you really want Barabbas? Or do you want Jesus?